जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन भला गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन भला गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन छारी जमुना तीरा बन छारी जैया रथ माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया गोपी जन भला गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन भला गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर बन छारी जमुना तीर बन छारी राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश श्रीमाधि डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश श्रीमाधि डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमन भागवतम की Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishiguru and Shiguranga.
O
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 24, entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, text number 59. Akshauhini nam pratibhir. Patibhir. Akshauhini nam pratibhir. Asurai nipalam chanai bhuva akramya jama bhuva akramya manaya abharaja krito dhyama akshauhini nam patibhir Asurai nipalam chanai bhuva akramya manaya abharaja krito dhyama akshauhini nam patibir asurai nipalam chanai bhuva akramya manaya abharaja krito dhyama Please chant. Akshohininam of kings possessing great military power. Patibhihi by such kings or governments. Asurahi actually demons because they do not need such military power but created unnecessarily. Nripalanchanai, who are actually unfit to be kings, although they have somehow taken possession of the government. Bhuvaha,
on the surface of the earth. Akramyamanayaha. Aiming and attacking one another. Abharaja. Paving the way for diminishing the number of demons on the surface of the earth. Krita Udamaha, enthusiastic. They spend all the revenue of the state to increase military power. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government. They do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam. The sadhus, the devotees of the Lord, are always eager to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness so that the conditioned souls may be released from the bondage of birth and death. But the asuras, the demons, impede the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, Krishna arranges occasional fights between different asuras who are very much interested in increasing the military power. The duty of the government of kings, the duty of the government or kings, is not to increase military power unnecessarily. The real duty of the government is to see that people of the state advance in Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam maya sristan guna karma vibhagasaha. Quote, according to the three modes of material nature and the works ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. End of quote. There should be an ideal class of men who are bona fide brahmanas, and they should be given all protection. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Krishna is very fond of Brahmanas and cows. The Brahmanas promulgate the cause of advancement in Krishna consciousness, and the cows give enough milk to maintain the body in the mode of goodness. The Kshatriyas and the government should be advised by the Brahmanas. Next, the Vaishyas should produce enough foodstuff, and the Sudras, who cannot do anything beneficial on their own, should serve the three higher classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the conditioned souls will be released from the material condition and return home back to Godhead. That is the purpose of Krishna's descent on the surface of the earth, Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam. Everyone must understand Krishna's activities, Jamma Karma Chame Divyam. If one understands the purpose of Krishna's coming to this earth and performing his activities, one is immediately liberated. This liberation is the purpose of the creation and Krishna's descent upon the surface of the earth. Demons are very much interested in advancing a plan by which people will labor hard, like cats, dogs, and hawks. But Krishna's devotee wants to teach Krishna consciousness so that people will be satisfied with plain living and Krishna conscious advancement. All the demons have created many plans for industry and hard labor so that people will work day and night like animals. This is not the purpose of civilization. Such endeavors are jagato hitaha. That is, they are meant for the misfortune of the people in general. Kasaya, such activities led to annihilation. One who understands the purpose of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should seriously understand the importance of the Krishna conscious movement and seriously take part in it. One should not endeavor for ugra karma or unnecessary work for sense gratification. Numan pramata kurute vikarma jat indriya priyata aprinoti. Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Simply for sense gratification, people make plans for material happiness. Maya sukaya bharan udvahato bimudham. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. They do this because they are all bimudhas, rascals. For flickering happiness, people waste their human energy, not understanding the importance of Krishna consciousness movement, but instead accusing the simple devotees of brainwashing. Demons may falsely accuse the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, but Krishna will arrange a fight between the demons in which all the military power will engage and both parties of demons will be annihilated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Akshauhininam patibhir asurai nipalanchanai bhupa akramyamanaya abharaja kritodhyamaha. Although the demons who take possession of the government are addressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another. And thus, the great burden of the demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Namo Om Vishupadaya Vishupasyaptara Shimateru. Namo Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishna Vevyo Namo Namaha. Prabhupada's amazing and encouraging Bhaktivedanta purpose. And we are approaching right now the summum bonum of the Bhagavatam, which is Lord Krishna's pastimes in this world. Prabhupada mentioned that to be able to understand Krishna's activities and his appearance in this world will be automatically being liberated. Krishna says that. Prabhupada quoted, Jamma karma chame divyam. So we are approaching that, and right now we start to understand the background or what preceded Lord Krishna's appearance in this world. We hear that in the previous narrations of different births of personalities in this moon dynasty, we hear a lot of familiar names, and many of them were demons, like Dantavraka, Shishupal, Jarasandha, Jayadrath, and so on. Kamsa. These are all personalities that are appearing and are populated the earth. We know from Krishna book that Mother Earth, feeling very distressed about the situation in which she was, which was basically being abused by an overburdened by the presence of demoniac kings. She seek the help of Lord Brahma with, you know, assuming the form of a cow, and with tears in her eyes, she requested for help because the burden was beyond her capacity to tolerate. And we know the story. Lord Brahma with all the demigods went to the shore of the ocean, milk ocean, and pray to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu reassured them that he will come to take care of that. So the many demons, as explains here, have taken possession of ruling different parts of the earth, but they were not representing, they were not doing the proper duty of the king. Rather, they were utilizing, they were creating this huge military power, which is basically is at the heart of a demon, of a demoniac mentality. In the Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac mentality is described. Ishwaraham aham bhogi is the sutra that defines the mentality of a demon, of a demoniac mentality. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. And as such, a controller and an enjoyer cannot, the demoniac mentality, the demoniac tendency cannot tolerate competition. So therefore, part of the narration of that verses, series of verses in which Krishna described the demoniac mentality is that my enemies I will crush. Those who are opposed to me, or those who are not, who are creating an obstacle in my control, then I will crush. Then, very important for those who are demoniac is to impose their will. So when that demoniac mentality, or that demoniac propensity, or that demoniac type of people take control of government, then the same principle applies. And the whole thing manifests in creating great military power. Because with military power, what do? You basically are able to impose your will. And what happens when that, then other demons, then similar things. So then it's what we call in modern days an armed race. Because the same principle apply. The demoniac mentality, or the demoniac propensity, is a principle that applies at all times. And then we see that manifested nowadays so graphically. Especially now, you hear in the news that apparently our president that fits the descriptions that are here perfectly. Just passed a budget in which some obscene amount of money is being allocated for the military. The whole thing of this man is that he will create the most powerful military, you know, situation that America had seen in their, in its whole history. That's his thing. And then people get all excited about it. Yes, 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 we'll, you know, we'll be great again. The whole thing is that we make America great again, which means what? That America will be the unchallenged power in the whole world. Right now, there's many powers that are challenging America. The European Union, China, you know, like that, Russia. So there are powers that are challenging, and then in fact, America has lost their grip in, you know, in the world, the leadership. So now this fellow is determined that we will make America number one again. And most important, to do that, we are going to develop the greatest military power in the history of America. And therefore, most of the money that this country has have to go to that. Just exactly what we're reading here. What other demons do? Like, we have a smaller demons, but with the same thing. So then we have this fellow in North Korea that is, got it. Okay, so maybe we don't, you know, well, his thing is that, okay, we don't have the same resources. So he forces basically most of the people to be part of the military thing. So it's almost like, you know, a huge percentage of the population of that country are part of the military. They have a huge military power because it's one of the most reasonable means for people to make a living there. And the other thing is that, okay, so we have to develop the atomic weapon. So this armed race is based, so smaller demons, they figured it out. Okay, if we can possess this atomic weapon, which is the ultimate destructive weapon known right now in modern times, back in times also was the ultimate destroying weapon. It was called the Brahmastra. So the gross Ugra Karma Brahmastra is this atomic bomb. That the atomic bomb that is now, that scientists have developed, you know, these Ugra Karma scientists have developed, is many, 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 many times greater than the atomic weapon that was, that destroyed Nagasaki and that was thrown in Hiroshima. Many, many folds more powerful. And then the technology has made it in such a way that it's also much more easier to put it in long distance, you know, rockets that can reach, you know, any part in the world, you know, from any part of the world. So basically it's, okay, you may have, you know, the most military power, but I press this button and I will destroy one of your cities. So they figured it out that we have to become a nuclear power. So then you have all these small rogue countries, Iran, Syria, you know, North Korea, that they're looking for to become, you know, nuclear powers. We have India and Pakistan that they develop it. So, you know, they somehow or other squeeze it in, because before it was supposed to be this very powerful group of countries that were only allowed to happen, to have that. I think there were like five of them, the US, the Russia, I think Israel, and France, and Britain, and Japan. Japan has? Okay. But now, the others you say, well, why not me? You know, it's a deterrent. So then no one can come and try to conquer us. You know, because, okay, you may destroy us, but we'll destroy you too. You know, type of thing. So this is the demons. This is the situation of the demons. And then it's as it says here, is so stupid, is so bimutha is the word that is used. Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, this sajaya jagato hita, in which the description of what the demons say, you know, their conclusion, following the conclusions that everything is meant for my sense gratification, either, you know, personal or extended, then with some conclusions, who are lost themselves and who have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible wars meant to destroy the world. Is 16:9 Bhagavad Gita. So everything these people do is meant to destroy the world. It's not only meant to destroy the world, but everything that is unbeneficial for human society. Why? Because they have no intelligence. Bimutha. A bimutha is someone who is absolutely not in touch with transcendental knowledge, doesn't know the goal of life, what is the proper goal of life, doesn't understand how to act according to the principles of dharma. And as such, those people who are leading, who are bimudhas, they basically will create a situation that is unbearable for society, and that gradually it will reduce and it will reduce and it will reduce the quality of life for people in general. And as the Bhagavad Gita says too, that these bimudhas, they consider what is religion, irreligion, or what is dharma, they consider adharma, and what is adharma, they consider dharma. So Prabhupada highlight here how there is not much facility from the government for those who are brahmanas to teach the proper execution and the proper principles of dharma. Rather, Prabhupada points out here that they accuse the simple devotees to be brainwashing. So that is the state of affairs. So then what happens? Then, bang, a big war happens. And this constantly happens. And then with these big wars that happens, then the space is open for the devotees. So in one sense, everybody in this world is anxious about wars. But the devotees are like, okay, Krishna's arrangement. In one sense. It sounds a little, you know, something that we say among, that we understand among devotees. But it's Krishna. Krishna is saying that. It's his principles. He arranges that, or he comes personal himself to establish that. And that's what we, that's what that we're starting to see, you know, in the narration. This is giving us the some of the how you say the setting the scene for Krishna's appearance. That he personally comes to establish, to eliminate all these demoniac mentality and these demoniac rulers and establish the devotees. So that's Krishna's program. In the previous verse we hear, you know, how Krishna comes in this world to teach us, or to help us understand what is the purpose of this world. This world is designed to be a place of suffering, but there's a purpose for it. And if we understand the purpose, then we can have a pretty nice experience here, and then at the end go back home, back to Godhead. It's like a prison. Prabhupada explains that in one class. That this material world is a correction center. Yeah, it's for living entities, for spirit souls that have the desire to enjoy away from Krishna. So this is like a place in which you get reformed, or you get reestablished to your original consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. So it's a place that, like a prison or like a psychiatric center, people who are affected by some destructive behavior or some ill behavior or some, you know, illness, they go to be reformed. The government who maintain a prison house is not that they want the prisoners to be there forever. Rather, the purpose of the prison is to be able to reform. So in prisons in general, they have all these different types. I mean, people can even, you know, do their college degrees and, you know, masters and things like that. They learn skills, you know. Within the confinements of a prison, they don't have freedom. They have to live in a very confined arrangement. But there is a whole environment that you can, you know, sort of have a certain peaceful existence in one sense and reform yourself. You have time to actually reform yourself. Is not the same as being free in the world. There is suffering, it's a punishment, because you have to live, you know, in a cell, in a very confined space, and you don't have the freedom. You have, you know, very limited freedom, you know, when you go into whatever, you know, you get the picture. So it is meant for reform. So Krishna wants this place to function like that. That's the plan. And therefore, one of the requirements is those who are in charge, there's always someone in charge, the rulers, of those who oversee the functioning of these places of reformation, they have to represent the government. They have to represent Krishna. They have to represent Krishna. So the kings, the government, have to represent Krishna, have to represent Krishna's purpose, which is reformation. The duty of those who are, the duty of the rulers is to make sure that people reform to their original Krishna consciousness. If they don't, if they rather do, if they do the opposite, due to their disqualification, then the government would take them out. So that's the purpose of a ruler, of a king. They have to make sure people are Krishna consciousness. They have to provide for that. So Krishna either comes himself or he makes an arrangement for them to destroy themselves. Regardless, when things goes out of hand, that happens. So Krishna gives us a very simple process that when it's followed, then we can actually live very happily in this world, have everything we need, we require to be healthy, to be satisfied, and at the end of life, go back home, back to Godhead. Simply like that, being fully reformed. So it's a progressive process. It's a progressive system. There's no alternative. There's only one system in the words of the Sri Upanishad. There's only one alternative, and one have to follow it. If you don't follow it, you can't. There's not such a thing of half following. Doesn't work. There's no alternative. It's not, you know, okay, maybe we can combine things, we can mix them, you know, like that, match stuff. It doesn't. You can cross a river in two boats. You know, okay, I put 1 foot in one and 1 foot in the other one. It doesn't work. So one have to be in the process of Krishna consciousness. And when that is there, then one can be progressively on a way back home, back to Godhead. To have that understanding, that was yesterday a very nice class by Harishan Prabhu. Coming to understanding what is the purpose, and simply by the process of accepting the personality of God, simply by accepting the process of vidya, the process of transcendental knowledge, to understand who is God, to understand who I am and what is my relationship with God. By the process of vidya, then we receive the performance of jagya, the proper jagya for the time. So Jagya sacrifice for us is Sankirtan Jagya, as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simple. By Sankirtan Jagya, then by this process of Vidya, we understand. Like Prabhupada sometimes he says, you know, I was listening the other day a class that Prabhupada in his, you know, very powerful way of saying that Krishna gives us everything, all the instructions, how to live, how to organize society, how to make it all very easily to live, to wear the simple arrangements. Like for example, Prabhupada said, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, grains, eat grains. They will make you, you know, that's how you sustain your life, by grains. So therefore, grow grains. That's it. That's the answer for hunger in the world. We have many places, people dying of hunger. When there's a very simple thing, just grow grains. There's land. There's plenty of fertile land. Grow grains. But these demons, Prabhupada say, they defy Krishna. They don't grow grains. They grow coffee, tobacco, all kinds of different things that people cannot eat. They create factories. When it's so simple, just Prabhupada say, grow grains and be starved, you rascal. You know, like Prabhupada say. So, simple things like that. How you organize society, how you make sure things, the facilities are there to live a simple life of Krishna consciousness, following Krishna's system of the performance of Jagya. With the performance of Jagya in the third chapter, what happens? Then the demigods are pleased, and then there is plenty of rain. With rain, there's plenty of grains. With grains, there is all the necessities of life are given for people to live, and, you know, a progressive life. In the country of my wife, South Africa, there is one place, Cape Town, that in 1 month is going to run out of water. There's no water in the place. And this is, you know, one of the major cities of South Africa, which is probably the most powerful African country in the continent of Africa. The most powerful country in the continent of Africa. Most wealthy. And they, you know, this major city is running out. They have no water. No running water. So, this is the consequence of demoniac rulers. You know, all these conflicts, all these different things that happen in the world. And the funny thing is that they have no clue. They have no clue how to resolve this, how to properly arrange. And therefore, Krishna comes to establish, Krishna sends his representative to teach Krishna consciousness. And he arranges for a way of wiping demons out of this earth. So, we'll see what happens, you know, in how things develop. People are very nervous right now with some of the present rulers, including the president of the United States, the present one, of, you know, conflicts that could lead to major you know, wars like that. So, at least we devotees, we are sure that Krishna will open the field to help the world to become Krishna conscious. And it's meant to be, because it's already been destined. 10,000 years, we're living it now. We're in the beginning of this 10,000 years, this window of a golden age within Kali Yuga, with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So it's meant to be. There's a window in which, small window in Kali Yuga, in which there's going to be all facilities for people to become Krishna consciousness. So something is going to happen to allow that. May not happen in our lifetime, but something is going to happen for that to fully manifest. Like right now, we don't see it. We see, you know, so much opposition, so much difficulties. But it's going to happen. It's already predestined. Any comments or questions? Keshava Kishore Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thanks for the class. I like the analogy that you use, that this world is a prison, you know, because thinking that people go to these correctionals for atonement, some keep on living their own lives because their heart is so filthy that they don't get it. No, and it's the same in the same way we do. And some they do. They get, as you said, master's degrees and things, and they get atoned and get out and do really good. But some other ones, because of the filthiness in their hearts, they never, and they are living in the circle of the police brutality and the system brutality, and they're resisting, in order for them to justify their lives. No, I'm a tough guy, I'm not going to let the system, but the system finally is stronger than what they are. No, it's bigger than what they are, and they're never going to leave that circle. They ended up getting killed, and you mentioned the she is Upanishad also, that there's an analogy by Srila Prabhupada using the elephant, that the elephant get cleaned and then he comes out of the river and start rolling over the mud again. That's our lives. That's all what I wanted to say.
Yeah, in one sense, if people doesn't get reformed, it's more a fault of the system than the people itself. What it means is that for some people, the reformation may take very, very long when they're, very, very, demoniac. But time will break them, at one point, if the system is right. But when the system is not right, you can fully reform, and we see that so in Krishna's this material world, Krishna's system is perfect. People will be reformed, at one point. So it's just a matter of time. matter of, you know, many, many, many life and life and life. And at one point, you after many, 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 many of this suffering and suffering and suffering, you start to open in at one point, you know. And Krishna makes the arrangement, because the system works. Krishna is, he himself either comes, he always makes sure that the system bounces back to what it's supposed to be. So Krishna is overseeing, and his purpose is get achieved. So that's Giridhari Prabhu.
I think I've asked probably the same question multiple times, but still trying to get a better understanding of how do we properly do the Sankirtan Yajna. I feel that like we're not, as a movement, doing it as much as we should. Like, and I feel like when we do it, there's like an emphasis on the musicality of it. So, like, how do we have this proper understanding that this is the yajna, this is the yuga dharma? So it's not like a form of entertainment. Like we say, it's so easy to do because it's music, but it's not that easy to do for long periods of time. If we have this, if we do it in the mode of passion, we can do it for like a half an hour, and then it's okay. But like doing it for hours on end, it takes like this mood of like real sacrifice, like this is what we're supposed to be doing in this age, like primarily. It's not for music, entertainment, or anything. Like we advertise kirtans as music meditation, things like that. Like it's like a form of entertainment type of thing. I'm not saying that we can't do it musically or anything like that, but like I think we need to adjust primarily how we see the Sankirtan congregational chanting, and do it in this mood of like saving ourselves, saving the world. And it's not like for entertainment or anything, like our enjoyment. It's like it's a sacrifice of the age, the religious sacrifice of the age. And another like comment is like we spend so much time, like so much money and time, like worshiping the deities. Like, but that's not the yuga dharma of this age. It's like this poster right here, sponsorship and donations, all this money going into it to support the deities. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but like what if all this money was like, how do we do Sankirtan better? Like, how do we get the holy name out more? And as a primary focus of our movement.
Yeah, these are very valid points. And there is some devotees have made it very strongly. I mean, one that comes to mind that was very orthodox in that matter was, you know, Aindra Prabhu. Which was, you know, he was a very compelling, very powerful, not only by example, but by the way he expressed himself. And it was valid. And it did brought to the attention of our movement to you know, he almost, his determination almost brought Kirtan back into, you know, the forefront of many of what things that we do. particularly in my limited, you know, capacity or realization. Balance is always the best. There have to be a balance. Balance comes with Krishna consciousness, maturity in Krishna consciousness. When, if we go too much this way or too much this way, it's not going to work. We have to be always in the center, balancing. Prabhupada explains that our path is not just bhajanandis, or with Goshti Anandish. So, but, well, no, let me backtrack. No, it's not what I want to say, because both is, that's not what you're saying. The path of chanting goes along with worshipping the deities. So we have both Pancharatrika and Bhagavad Bidhi. That's what I wanted to say. Pancharatrika and Bhagavad Bidhi. Pancharatrika Bidhi, Bhagavad Bidhi. Bhagavad Bidhi is what you're saying, that doing the Yuga Dharma, you know, chanting the holy name, spreading, glorifying, chanting the glories of Krishna, engaging in the Yuga Dharma, hearing the Bhagavatam, preaching the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, like that. Pancharatrika is worshipping the deities. These two things have to go simultaneously right now in the world. And we have to have that balance. We have to have that balance. And in one sense, you know, it comes with the maturity in our movement. As we mature and mature, find the balance. Because balance is never easy, you know. Balance is a challenge. It's much easier to go this way or that way. So so we have to do it individually and collectively. We have to find the balance. As individuals, we have to strive for that balance. We have to pay attention to the utmost importance that we have in worshiping, you know, the deities, maintaining the temples, serving the devotees. That's part of Pancharatrika. And we have to approach Harinam, Sankirtan, with a proper mood of devotion, you know. That's one thing. Those who are very clever devotees, who are mature devotees, they can use the things that people like, or people, just regular conditioned souls, they are attracted to, and they can dovetail that in a way to engage them in the process of Sankirtan. So people like music, people like dance, people like entertainment. So you can use that. What comes into question is those of us who perform it, who does Sankirtan. We should not see it as a musical entertainment. They can see it, and they get engaged. You know, the people in general, the conditioned souls. Well, we devotees should see it differently. When we pay too much attention to the externals, then and miss the internal part of Sankirtan, the devotional mood, then the potency won't be there. Indra was very strong with that, when he will say things like that. you know, that basically is, you know, Srinam is not there. When you chant, you know, for, it's just a material performance. So there is way of seeing it in a very orthodox way. There is way of seeing it in a more liberal way. It's better to be in the center. I think that's the most, that's what we should strive. We should strive to actually have both, have that proper understanding and approach to the Holy Name, and to bring sharing the Holy Name with others, understanding that this is, you know, this is the ultimate process of religion in this age, the ultimate sacrifice, the prescribed jagya, and what we're supposed to do. That's what we are. We are the Sankirtan mission. With the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, it's all about that. And you know, everything that we have is simply to support that Sankirtan mission. That's individually and collectively, that's what we are. And the more we come to embrace and to understand that, then we're maturing in Krishna consciousness. So, if we see it, then means that, you know, individually I have to show by example. Understanding that where this size coming from, where the size coming from, but I'm trying to be an example of balance. That's what I'm striving for. And you know, Krishna has a perfect time for things. We can force, you know, we can force things. We just appreciate if we see. You know, when you see those events that are organized in some Eastern Bloc countries, you know, that are this huge entertainment. I mean, it looks like a concert. Like, you know, any concert with lights and people dancing and jumping, stage diving and the whole thing. You know, I mean, the other, I was looking one in which, you know, even Devamrita Maharaj was stage diving. You know, I mean, one may say, what the heck is happening here, you know? It's looked like, you know, any, you know, punk rock concert, you know? But no, I mean, thousands of people just like screaming to their lungs, you know, chanting the Holy Name. They may not have necessarily, but it's happening. You have to appreciate it. It works. If somehow you have 10,000 people chanting the Holy Name and being completely ecstatic, then, hey, Sankirtan is being engaged. You know, so it depends on, I mean, these personalities, I mean, Devamrita Maharaj, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, Indra Dumya Maharaj, you know, they're organizing these massive programs of kirtan in Russia and Ukraine and whatever, you know, they do these things. Huh? In Poland, Woodstock, you know, these whole things, you know, so as big entertainment things, you know, like that. But they know, they have a feel for it. Now, if we, you know, try to imitate and we have, you know, we have a very immature approach to it, you also can appreciate that, you know, well, you know, They're attached to the whole, they're attached to do that. So it's good. It's better than, you know, just like Srila Paswami say, just being singing, woo, 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 I miss you, baby, type of thing, you know? So anyway, we have to mature individually and collectively. All right, I'm going to stop here. Thank you so much. Karantarashimam Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh, by the way, just welcoming Sridhar Anand Prabhu. Welcome to Chicago Temple. Hare Krishna.